Why did you come to church tonight? That's a good question. Why did you come to the house of the Lord tonight? Let's look here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Right there in those few verses are some answers to the question as to why we came to church, why we go to church. Now, for me, you've heard me tell many, many times that I was raised up in church from the time I was just a small boy. I was there. I was always there. Every service, we were just there. And we were very faithful. My mother was very diligent about taking us to the house of the Lord and made a deep impact upon me throughout those years, growing up years, as I saw the priority that she placed upon spiritual things, going to the house of God. And so it's a very valuable lesson to learn. But I think that, let's look at a couple of reasons. Number one, we have personal reasons for coming to church. We come because we are a needy people. We're individually needy. And we come together. You know, some of us have physical needs. You have various situations in your life, personal things in your life. And so you leave what you are normally doing day in and day out, and you leave that location and you come to this location because you want to change locations and be in a place where you can really focus upon the things of God. Now, it doesn't mean you can't do that other places, but the house of the Lord has been set aside. It has been dedicated as a place where the Lord's name is glorified, where his presence is welcome, and where needs can be met. And this is a place where we can focus on the Lord, on his word, on his people. And so for personal reasons, we come knowing that there are things that can happen here that won't happen any other place when you come to the house of the Lord. And then we have a bigger reason, a corporate reason. Collectively, as a body, we are, the scripture says, we're like a family. We're different. We're diverse. You know, it's interesting to me how that even within a family, my own natural brothers, we grew up together in the same home, almost, you know, the same circumstances, but we're different. We have differences about us. We're different in a lot of ways. We're alike in a lot of ways too, but we're different in many ways. That's the way it is in the family of God and in the body of Christ. We are a family, yet we're diverse. We're different, but we have the same Heavenly Father, and there's something about the family of God that knits us together, that brings us together, and there are things that happen here, like I already said, that won't happen in any other circumstance, right here in the house of the Lord. So we're here for personal reasons tonight. We're here because collectively, as a family, as a body, we know that we can meet with the Lord. And even though we're different, we have different backgrounds and different circumstances in our lives, we come together and there's something common that brings us together. And that is that he is our Heavenly Father And there, this is a place where we can meet him and hear his voice. And then there's a divine reason why we're here tonight. And that is, we want to meet with God. We want to meet with the Lord. We want to worship God. We want to hear from God. Now, one of the things that a shakeup in our song leading can do for us is it causes us to not lean so heavily upon one or two. What we typically we do, we just say, oh, I can just kind of sit back and let Brother James sing. I'll just sit back and let Brother Greg sing. I'll just sit back and let them do it. You recognize, oh, no, now we're going to have to get in here. We're going to have to pour our heart into this. We're going to have to support and help and worship and work together here. And so it's not such a bad thing that we would have but we're here to meet with God, to worship God. We're here to hear from God. Amen. So I'm thankful for the church and the body of Christ, and we meet together to worship God and for his name to be glorified in this place. Amen. Now, we talked a little bit about foundation this morning. Notice what the text said. I'm going to read it again. It says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner stone. Interesting thing about foundations. Now, I'm not a builder, don't claim to be a builder, so I know Brother Gilpin would know, and Brother Aaron and some of these others would know a whole lot more about this, but I can learn a few things about it. And I can know a little bit, at least enough to make the application. But I do know a few things. Here's one thing I know about foundations. A foundation can determine the size of the building, or it should. It should. If you have a certain size building, you need a certain size and depth foundation. The foundation has an effect upon the size and the type of building that's being built. And that's what makes it so wonderful, is because we are, this is talking about a foundation built upon the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. Now, to me, that tells me that this foundation, that there are no limitations to the household of God, to the building of God. If he's the foundation, if those apostles and prophets are the foundation, and Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone, then that we should place no limitation on the people of God, the house of God, and what God is wanting to do and how that he wants to work. The size of it, the width of it, the depth of it, the breadth of it, it's unlimited because the foundation is so wonderful and so great and so mighty that there is no limitation. Now, if you read on in Ephesians, the Gentiles, or the Jews rather, they wanted to limit the household of God to just to the Jews. And there's real warning and instruction about that. No, it's not to be, there's not to be a limitation on the church and what the church is to be. Not limited to just those that are like us, but to so many that are out there around that need God. This is a place where hungry hearts can find a place where they can fit in the household of God, in the body. No limitations. Now, that's a wonderful thing to me, to think that we should, in our own minds, get rid of all the limitations and understand that God is a whosoever God. Amen. So it doesn't matter. We talked to you the other day about Zacchaeus and how he represented the wealthy and the rich and the influential. Yeah. God can reach that kind of a person. He can reach the middle class, person. He can reach the lower income person. He can reach the person that's down and out and doesn't have anything in his life. It doesn't matter. The church should accommodate everyone, anyone. This ought to be a place where whosoever feels welcome and they feel like that they are a part of the family of God. Amen. And you might as well get used to it, because that's what heaven's going to look like. Heaven is going to be full of people of all different backgrounds, the poor, the needy, all different classes of people, all different nationalities of people, all different colors of skin of people. It doesn't really make any difference. God and heaven is going to be populated by people from every tribe, nation, ethnic group. Heaven is going to be populated with every kind of a person born upon the face of the earth. Amen. So the church ought to look like that too. Amen. The church ought to look like that. And we ought to welcome the Hispanics and the Asians and the Indians. I know we don't have a whole lot of people of those different nationalities around here, but we have some. We have some. Well, there's several hundred Hispanics that live in our county. There are Asians that live in our county. There are Pakistanis. There are Indians that live in our county, in our area. And there are black African-American people that live here. I know the population isn't really large, but they're here. They're here. And this is a whosoever will gospel. And that's what the church needs to look like. Why? Because the foundation is so big. It's so great. Building upon the apostles and upon the prophets and upon Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. Glory to God. Amen. So it ought to be able to accommodate anyone, anyone. I remember when last fall when we were up in New York City at Brooklyn Tabernacle that Pastor Cimbala took off praying in one of the services, and he started praying in Spanish. And I thought, whoa. He's praying in Spanish, and because apparently he's worked with so many Hispanic people. I don't know what his background is or how he's learned Spanish, but he was praying in Spanish. And I just thought, this. You look around in that church, and it's like, this is an international church, because there's people from all different kinds of backgrounds and nationalities that are there. That's the way the body of Christ should look. Amen. Large. In our influence, large in our capacity, broad in our reach for many, many people. Amen. Glory be to God. And that's what heaven's going to be like. Praise God. Heaven is going to be populated with all kinds of people. As a matter of fact, maybe we should adopt a new policy right here at First Pentecostal Church, that this is a place, a safe place where anyone can meet God and learn how to serve God. Amen. This is a place where anyone can meet God and learn how to serve the Lord. Right here in this location. Amen. And a foundation, not only is it broad, it's deep, you know, on the teachings of the prophets and the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and that this ought to be a place where there is depth of teaching in the word of the Lord. Amen. That we're not always on the surface. We're not always just on one level, but we're willing to dig in and learn more about the things of God. That it's a foundation that is deep, to make it strong and stable, so that it can build and be that the church can be what God wants it to be. Amen. Praise God. I want to see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ growing, advancing, becoming all that God wants us to be. Amen. And when those doors fling open back there and they start walking in here from different colors and nationalities and all different kinds of backgrounds, and it doesn't matter if their life has been wrecked and ruined and messed up by sin, This is a place where they can get help in the presence of the Lord. They can learn about God and learn how to serve God. And we want to develop that kind of an attitude where we're welcoming to people that are hungry for God. Amen. And that our teaching and preaching has some depth to give stability and strength to people so that they can grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. So the foundation is important, and I could say more about that. But then it's talking about not only the foundation, but the building stones, verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. I mentioned just a little bit ago how that we all are important. Everyone is important in the family of God. Everyone has a place, a calling, a gifting, a ministry, a purpose in the body of Christ. Amen. Find that place. Find that place. And we are stones. The scripture in the New Testament talks about that we are lively stones. And I know it's hard for us to imagine stones that are living stones. But whenever he talks about living stones, he's talking about people like you and me. We're the living stones. We are living stones. And God has gone into the depths of the quarry, and he has shaped out and carved out the various stones, and then he brings them and positions them in the church, and they are fitly framed together. Amen. God goes into the quarry of sin and the depths of sin, and he chisels people out of all of that. Brother Harry was talking to me this morning about some people that I'm acquainted with that they've got children that are now on drugs, now in jail, now in a troubling situation. This is a far-reaching situation that many families, hardly any family, is not affected by this now. But God is reaching in, even into the dark places of the jails and the prisons. And the gospel is going there, and lives are being changed. And God is chiseling them out and is shaping them, because he wants to fit them into the wall. He wants to fit them into the body of Christ as he shapes them and frames them together into a holy temple. Amen. So God is able to bring that person in to the family of God and begin to shape them and to form them and to use them to build up the kingdom of God, to build and advance the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. So our foundation is unlimited, and the stones are being shaped by the grace of God so that they fit perfectly into the structure of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God can do that in the lives of people that are so messed up by sin. He can reach down and he can save them and he can change them. He can clean their life up. He can completely transform them and make something worthwhile of their life. The enemy is the destroyer who's trying to destroy the lives of many young people, many people. Just he's doing his best to destroy a generation. But God is the God of mercy that reaches into the pit and pulls them out and works on them and shapes them and forms them and makes them into something that is valuable. Praise God. And he builds the church through people like that. Amen. Isn't it amazing how that he can take people that have been so far from God, and he can make a saint out of them? He can make a wicked, evil man into a godly man, into someone that God can use for his glory. And they fit perfectly in the body of Christ and into the family of God, because God is shaping them and making them into what he wants them to be. Praise God. Glory to God, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. That's what the Lord is building. Amen. Now, we have here, physically, we have a very unique building. Most people that visit here for the first time and they walk in the sanctuary, they can do nothing but look up. They're just craning and looking up and going, wow, I've never seen a building quite like this. Wow. So we have a unique physical building here. And even from the outside, unique, not common as far as church buildings are concerned. And that's fine. That's wonderful. And I'm thankful for it. But our building is unique. But there should be something else even more unique about us. Something that sets us apart beyond just our physical building. That the church should be a place where we are unique because the presence of God is here. That should set us apart. Amen. I'm not responsible, nor are you responsible for what goes on at other churches. I'm not their judge. I am not responsible for them. I'm responsible for me. We're responsible for us. Amen. We're personally responsible for us here at this location. And so we should ask the Lord, Lord, above all, make us unique in that whenever people come into this place, they sense the presence of God is here. That God is here. God is in this place. God is working in this place. And the presence of God is there whenever there's real deep conviction of sin that is upon this place. 1 Corinthians 14 and 25, when a person comes in or a stranger comes in to a service or to our church, they should come in here. And it says, the secrets of their heart are made manifest, and they fall on their face, and they worship the Lord and say, God is in you of a truth. They're convinced by the presence of God. And the secrets of their heart are made manifest. I mean, somebody walks in to this place and they're a cheater, or they're a liar, or they are in terrible sin. Maybe they're committing immoral sin, and or their heart is full of hate or anger or bitterness or whatever that it might be. When they come in to the presence of the Lord, the secrets of their heart should be made manifest. The Spirit of God that's in this place, we should be unique as a church in that when people come in, they realize God is in this place. God is in this place. God is here, and I'm a sinner. And the secrets of our heart are revealed and made manifest if they're doing things that are not pleasing to the Lord, if they're in sin, that this convicting work of the Spirit of God, one of the evidences that the presence of God is here is that there's this heavy, deep conviction of sin that falls upon people when they come into this place. And they're not condemned to the point that they want to run out the back door, but the Bible says they fall on their face. They fall on their face before the Lord and worship God, and they say, God is in you of a truth. They are convinced God's in this place. God is in this place. Amen. We should be unique in that when people come that are in need, people come that are in sin, that they will sense, oh, God, you're here, and I need you, and would you forgive me of the wickedness that's in my life that's been made manifest? They thought it was tucked away good and in secret, and that no one would ever know, but the Spirit of God is here, and it brings it to light. It makes it manifest, because in the church, that should be one of the things that sets us apart. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit that makes it clear to them that God is in this place. Amen. But the conviction of sin, you know, sometimes people confuse conviction with condemnation. God is not the one who condemns. Condemnation is from the enemy, that he says, you're not worthy. You're not even worthy of the grace of God. You're not worthy of forgiveness. Conviction of sin will never condemn you. The conviction of sin, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel when there's conviction of sin. God will not wink at your sin or ignore your sin. He will make it manifest, but he'll show you the way to forgiveness. He'll show you the way to be restored, to get back to God. And he won't leave you in the predicament of your sin, but he will provide a way out. One of the other evidences about the church that sets us apart, or should set us apart, is that this should be a joyful place. Praise God. Forgiven people ought to be joyful. Amen. Amen. People that have been forgiven ought to be full of joy. We ought to have the joy of the Lord abiding in this place. Because people that are in the world and they're lost, they're looking for something. And if they come in and they see on your countenance hopelessness and despair and discouragement and nothing that would attract them, then they're certainly not going to be attracted to you or to the house of the Lord. But the presence of God should be an evidence reveals the fact that God is at work, and he's revealing sin, and he is also bringing joy into the midst. Amen. Joy. Amen. Joy in our worship. Joy in our prayer. Joy in the service that we just enjoy the presence of God, the goodness of God. We're enjoying it, and we're worshiping God and giving God our full attention, because he is worthy. Amen. He is worthy. Praise the name of the Lord. We should be set apart for the fact that we are a place where the presence of God is, where there's conviction of sin, where there is the joy of the Lord, where there is true worship. True worship. Amen. You know, worship is a lot of things. When you say the word, our worship service, sometimes we think only of the singing part, the music part. The reality is worship is giving God your full attention. I mean, there's many, many other definitions for worship. But really, this is a very simple definition. Worship is giving God your full attention. Amen. And he's worthy of that. He's worthy of that. Amen. Giving God your full attention. And so this ought to be a place where we set aside everything else and all other distractions, and our full attention is upon the Lord and on the goodness of the Lord, and we glorify the Lord. Yeah, sure, in the songs. We do that in the songs. We do that in every part of the service, but our full focus is upon him. Praise God. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth to a holy temple, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. A lot of wonderful things ought to be happening here at this location. Amen. A lot of wonderful things. The joy of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, the worship of the Lord. And then also, we ought to receive from the Lord a mandate from God, that from this place, we want to make him visible to the world. Out there in the world, God is not there. God is not there. He's not obviously there in most places in the world. But when you go there, he becomes visible. Amen. When you're in the middle of that place, whether it be on your job or or wherever that God allows you to be, when you're there, then all the things that are going on inside of the church should become visible through your life. And we go forth with a mandate to make His name known everywhere that we go. Amen. The mandate from the Lord to make Him visible to the world around us. Amen. So go forth. And when you leave this place, you are filled up. You are restored and encouraged. And you are blessed. And you walk and leave this place. And you go out into the world. And you are representing the body of Christ. You're representing Jesus Himself wherever you go. And when you go, you're making Him visible. Amen. Amen. Out there in the world. Amen. And they ought to be able to see in your life and see through you. God's doing something in that man. God is doing something in that person. And we see it. And it becomes obvious to the world that Christ is at work in our lives. Praise God. I think that you all know how important that the church, I'm talking about the local church, is to me. I see it as so important and so valuable. And that we are all coming together, diverse backgrounds, different kinds of people, but God shapes us and fits us together. It's such an amazing thing how that God can take all kinds of different people, put us together, and make us with able to accomplish things in our world for the glory of God. Amen. Making Him visible to the world that is around us. Praise God. Amen. It's a blessing to be a part of the church. So when you think about, should I go to church tonight or not? Some of y'all had to make a decision tonight because the snow started falling and you were trying to decide, should I, or should I not? And I'm thankful that you did come. But if that question comes to your mind again, Wednesday or Sunday, should I go? Is it important that I'm there? Remember that you're a part of this building. And if you're not there, something's missing. Our real strength and our real ability to accomplish what God calls us to accomplish is greatly diminished when you're not there. When you're not there, this is where we come together and we collectively bind together, worship together, pray together, enter in the presence of God together so that we can go forth and make a difference in the world. Amen. Amen. So don't think twice about it. Amen. Just come on. Come on. And understand that God can really bless your life and other people in the body of Christ. Amen. When we bind together. Praise God. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are at work in our church. Thank you, Lord, that you are working and you are shaping and working in the lives of people to make us, Lord, into what you would have us to be. I know the world is desperately in need. So, Lord, would you help us to be, Lord, Jesus Christ made visible to this world through our example, through our lifestyle, through the way that we live when we go out into this world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.